Welcome to the Dr. DeMartini Show, where international author, speaker, teacher, and philosopher Dr. John DeMartini shares with you exactly how to break through whatever is holding you back from your best life. Welcome to the Dr. DeMartini Show. This is episode number 3, and in today's show, John is going to be taking you through how to create the blueprint for your inspired life. And just like you wouldn't build a house without a blueprint, we recommend you don't build a life without one either. So more specifically, what we're going to be going through in this episode is creating more certainty, clarity, and purpose inside of your life to really take command and control, not just in theory, but with some practical tools and a proven methodology that's going to help you become more productive, more profitable, more inspired, and ultimately more fulfilled. So you can get busy filling your day with high priority actions that inspire you instead of low priority actions that don't. If that is of interest to you and you want to live your most inspired life and create the ultimate blueprint, then stick around. This is the episode for you. For those of you who are brand new to Dr. DeMartini's material, he is a human behavioral specialist with studies in over 290 different disciplines, or ologies as John calls them. And over the course of a 45 plus year career, John has gone from 17 and nearly dying in the back of a tent with strychnine poisoning to becoming a master of his life and then allowing others to see that same divine beauty in the world. This podcast is going to be an exploration of some of his theories and thoughts and inspirations, so you can draw from that and implement them into your own life. Each episode will feature a different series. They go for varying lengths depending on what the teachings are that John wants to share with you. And over the course of the next few weeks, months, and years, you're going to learn the intimate details of exactly how you can begin to master your life. If you would like to take the very first action from this podcast, John recommends to head over to drdemartini.com, where not only will you find all of John's materials in one central location, but you will be able to do the values determination process, which is a central pillar of all of John's teaching. So enjoy the episode, and we look forward to speaking to you very soon.
What is the blueprint that you're referring to, and how can a blueprint lead a person towards living an inspired life?
Well, I think everybody is familiar with the term blueprint, probably. An architect, when they're about to build a building or a bridge or any masterpiece, first starts inside their mind with a vision and then translate that into some form of vehicle, whether on paper or in computer, and starts putting together a blueprint, if you will, a plan on how to achieve this outcome. And I can't imagine, when I think of the story of the Reblings, when they built the Brooklyn Bridge, it's an absolutely inspiring story. If anybody can go online and read about this story, it's an absolutely inspiring story. But a gentleman, the Rebling, who is the one that envisioned it, John Rebling and his Augustus Rebling, they literally ended up in an injury along the way doing it, but with a finger and in a hospital with a finger communication, because they had a blueprint in their mind, they were able to finish this amazing bridge, which is a historical bridge, because it was in the mind and it was down on paper. And so people many times have goals that are nebulous and scattered, and they're not really clear and concise and focused and present with a blueprint. But a blueprint allows you to take something that's in your mind and put it into reality. Intangibles to tangibles. Inspiring ideas into inspiring lives. So I think that the blueprint is not only a practical exercise, but it's also a metaphor for what's possible in our lives. And I've been a believer in using planning. I've been planning my life since I was 17. And I've been blessed by that. So I am a firm believer in blueprint. Printing your life and making a template of how you want it and going after it, creating it.
Thank you, John. I like that. Taking the intangibles and making them tangible is definitely something we can look for. We also wanted to know what people felt was in the way of creating the inspired life. Many people came back to us saying they don't feel they know what they want to do or focus on or what inspires them. So they find themselves procrastinating or not taking action. Other people said that their self-doubt and confidence kept them from taking action. Can you share some advice to assist those listening so that they can overcome this potential hurdle?
Yes, and I'm going to ask everybody, you already said it, to take notes, but I'm going to ask people to really listen really carefully to what I'm about to say, and please take notes. I'm inspired to say this because it's something that I had to learn along my way. And you've heard me, some of you have heard me say some of this, but just write it again. Can't hear it too many times. Everybody has a set of priorities, a set of values, things that are most important to least important in their life. And it's unique. This hierarchy of values or set of priorities that we have are unique. Whenever we're setting goals that are truly, truly aligned and congruent with our highest value, the blood glucose and oxygen in our brain moves into the forebrain where foresight and planning, the executive center, the medial prefrontal cortex comes online. And when that comes online, there's a connection between that and the visual centers in the brain. And it automatically allows us to see in our mind's eye what we want to create. And there's also another fascicle of nerves that go down into the amygdala, and it calms down distractions, impulses, instincts, all the emotions that keep us from being present and being certain about it. So by going into the executive center and making sure you write down things that you're certain about that are really high in your values, you use the most advanced part of the brain, which is more objective, more balanced, and has a yearning and a desire to want to get into action. Your energy levels go up. You're inspired. Now, why is it important to do this? If you don't fill your day with high priority objectives or goals or actions that truly inspire you, your day is designed to fill up low priority distractions that don't. And that applies not just for a day, but a week, a month, a decade, a generation, or a lifetime. If you're not planning out your life, other people are planning it. If not empowering your life with clarity about what you want, other people will do it. And by going into the executive center, by high priority actions that you write down, I tell people when they're planning, in my program, the Master Planning for Life program that I've been doing for many years now, decades, I tell people to start with what you know and let what you know grow. Start with what you're certain about. When I first wrote my first mission statement and began my first master plan at age 17, right at almost my 18th birthday, the first thing I did is I asked myself, what is it I'm absolutely certain about? What is it I know? And I said, I want to travel the world. And I wrote that down. What else do I absolutely certain about I know that I want to create in my life? I said, I want to learn. I had a learning problem and I want to overcome my learning problems. I wrote down, what is it I want to learn? And I wrote down that I wanted to learn and be intelligent in life. Then I realized that I also wanted to teach because the guy that inspired me to write these goals, I wrote down what I want to teach. And then I also understood that I wanted to study universal laws. I want to be knowledgeable about that. And I just started making a list of everything that I was certain about. There was no question, no wavering, no uncertainties about it. I only started with what I knew, my core competence, you might say. And then I compiled that into a sentence. And my first mission statement was that I want to dedicate my life to the study of universal laws as related to mind, body, and spirit, particularly as related to healing. And I wanted to travel and step foot in every country on the face of the earth and share my research findings with people and help people live inspired lives. Now, in the process of doing that, pardon me, I have a little blinker that came on my computer here. There. And in the process of doing that, I read that and I refined that and I read that and I refined that. And every once in a while, whenever I would get a tear of inspiration from reading or listening or anything that was inspiring, I would read and refine that mission statement until all of a sudden it just kept unfolding. And I just kept with what I knew. If we start with what we know and let what we know grow, we create a masterpiece. Now, In addition to that, I found something that is not commonly taught. It's not available. So what I'm about to share, if you've not, you've probably not heard this. But we have, when we live by our highest value in our executive center, I said we are more objective. And the term objectivity means even-mindedness. And when we live by lower values, we become subjectively biased. And we tend to want to avoid pain and seek pleasure, avoid predators, seek prey, avoid challenges, seek ease. We want immediate gratification. Because when we live in our highest values, we expand our space and time horizons and see a vista of possibility and expand a bigger vision. And we play small when we live by lower values, or we inject other values and try to live by everybody else and please everybody else and lose ourselves in that process. So it's so important to make sure that what you're really, really creating is truly highest on your value and what you know with certainty. Because you have certainty there and uncertainty below. And if you want a quick immediate gratifying whim, you're not going to have a master plan life. Because immediate gratification costs you your life. Long-term vision pays. So it's important when you set a goal to set a balanced goal. Now, some people say, I want to think only positive thinking. I only want to focus on the positives. I don't want to think about the negatives. But this is a guaranteed path of non-achievement. Because you're setting up a fantasy, not an objective goal in reality. The reason why the executive center has a capacity for strategic planning, the purpose of strategic planning is to set down all the challenges and all the things that could be obstacles along the goal that you want, and to think them with foresight instead of having to find out through trial and error and hindsight, oops, I didn't think of that, oops, I didn't think of that, oops, I didn't think of that. We are rewarded by thinking presently in the vision that we envision. And the second you do that, you're actually writing down in a state where you feel inspired, you feel it's impossible for you not to fulfill it, you feel it's destined. And when you're writing a goal that's true and it's objective and it's balanced, you'll feel that it's destined, feel like it's impossible for you not to fulfill it. And you see it in your mind's eye in the back of the brain. And you also, you see a strategy. You literally clarify and see the strategy. So strategic planning was there to mitigate the challenges and obstacles or the doubtful questions that can possibly come up in the mind along a journey of a goal. And a fantasy is trying to avoid that, and a goal is embracing that. But if you don't fill your day with challenges that inspire you, it's going to fill up with challenges that don't. If you don't pursue challenges and work through those and see how they can be used on the way, not in the way, they'll become in the way, and then you'll end up having frustration. I found out when you set goals that are congruent, you don't have anxieties and fears. Because you strategize it, you know what action steps, and you want to make sure that they're small baby steps. Many people want these massive things instead of building momentum with small incremental steps. And that's why the strategic plan is to break big projects, the end in mind, down into the daily action starting today. In my Master Plan for Life program, that's exactly what I train people to do, to make sure they're setting real goals in real time that's really important to them, and not fantasies that 3 months later they forgot about and it's like a New Year's resolution stuff. You want to make sure it's a real core competent focus. But if you set balanced goals that are objective, objectivity, not subjectively biased goals that are fantasies for immediate gratification, which is hedonic, you'll end up having the most fulfilling actions and you won't have anxieties. Whenever you sense when you're setting a goal, and I train this in the master planning and I show people how to make this distinction. When they're setting a goal and there's this little voice that comes in, oh, that I can't do that. Or, oh, what if this happens? Instead of sitting and going, oh, there's something wrong with me. Know that that's what your mind is designed to do. That's actually part of the perfection. Your mind is doing its job to let you know there's a detail not in the plan. You haven't thought through and mitigated the challenges. And this is your body and mind coming up. And the positive thinking people think, oh, my God, I got to get rid of that. But the reality is you want to use that wisely as a feedback to set real goals in real times. And the second you're clear and you see it in your mind's eye, you don't have those thoughts because you don't have fantasies. So if you sit down and go, okay, I've set too big a goal in too short a time frame, you're going to have a doubt come up. But if you set a real goal in real time frame, you don't have a doubt because it's now objective. Anytime you're manic, the place to set a goal, I explain this, when you're setting a goal, don't do it in a manic state. Don't do it when you're all puffed up and elated and, you know, hyped up. And watch out for seminars that do things like that because they'll make you set up things and set yourself up for downfall. If you're in a manic state, you'll set too big a goal in too short a time frame without a strategy. You'll fantasize about things. And then all your anxieties will surface automatically to let you know that. And if you're down and you're minimizing yourself, you'll set too big a goal in too short a time frame to make yourself better about, feel better about yourself. But if you actually stick to priorities and you set real goals and real time frames and really think it through, take the time to plan. Because failing to plan is planning to fail kind of thing. Really taking the time to plan, you'll go farther. And if you can see it. And again, the Augustus Rebling and everything else made the book in Blidge from a hospital room and was with his finger communicating because he ended up having an injury and was partly in a almost a comatose state. But he still, because he saw it in his mind's eye and saw it in his head clearly, he was able to translate that to people. And what's interesting is when you can see it so clearly in your mind's eye, there's a some the clarity that you have exudes out of your physiology, changes your hormonal dynamics, releases hormones, pheromones from your body, and engages other people in a kind of a collective system to be able to do it. Margaret Mead said, never underestimate the significance of a small group of people for making a difference in the world, for it's the only thing that ever did. One individual with an inspiring vision that was really clear gathers momentum by inspiring other group of people to go forward. There was a gentleman that I was born in a hospital called Herman Hospital, and Mr. Herman had a vision, and people laughed at it at first because he saw a major medical center being in a swamp. And people thought, you can't, that's swamp land, and no, it's useless, and everything else, and came up with it. But today, the Houston Medical Center, which is the largest medical center in the world, came from one man's vision that was master planned. And he went and did things that no one else did on planning and foresaw universities and buildings and parks, and he master planned it. He saw the whole thing. Mahanasena Thambi, who's built Springfield, an entire city, one man building this entire city with teams of people. He saw it in his mind's eye and is building it and working on his master plan. So we have the capacity to do extraordinary things if we use the extraordinary part of our brain. And that all starts with setting priorities and highest priority actions that are certain. So if you have any question about it, refine it until you're certain. I'd rather you set fewer goals that are clear, that are certain, that are truly inspiring, that brings a tear of inspiration to you, than a bunch of fluffy stuff that you never get around to do and you beat yourself up with it because it's fantasy. Fantasies create nightmares out of a life, but true goals build masterpieces. And I believe that you're a master. The real you, the real true you that's sitting inside you is a master. And the facades that we get injected from our comparison of other people, don't compare yourself to other people and try to live in other people's shadows. Don't be a borrowed visionary. Be an unborrowed visionary. Go inside. When the voice and the vision on the inside is louder than all those opinions on the outside, that's when you master your life. That's when you create a master plan. So I could go on for hours on this, as you probably guessed, but set real goals that are objective, that are balanced with your executive center that you're certain about, and watch what happens. You will be inspired to act, and you won't be able to stop yourself from taking action.
Thank you, John. So real goals in real time frames. So start with what you know and let what you know grow. The next question we have here is, does having a vision for your life really matter? There are CEOs who say they didn't clarify their personal vision. They just did the job required and ended up at the top. Some people say that they don't set goals. They live from day to day being in the now. What is your take on this?
I'm glad that that's been brought up. When I've actually interacted with people who claim they didn't have a vision, I didn't find that to be true. They may not have taken the time to write it out. They may not have time to put it down on paper and put it on computer and things of that nature, but they certainly had it in their head. Now, some people worked their way up a corporate ladder and they worked for somebody else and they just did their job and they kept to the grind and they focused and they got promoted up the ladder because they were the best dedicated person to the job. And that's a great thing to do, is to take whatever you're doing in your job and find out how it's serving your mission. But I don't know of any human being that doesn't have in there. I've been teaching people in master planning and other programs for many, many years. And I've yet to find somebody that didn't down deep inside, didn't have a clarity. And I hear people say, I don't know what I want. I hear a kind of stuff. But when I ask the right questions, you know, in the master planning program, there's 2,000 questions I'm going to ask people. When I ask the right questions, what's inside comes to the surface. And the truth is, you do have a dream. Every human being automatically is engaged in what their highest value is, whether they're conscious of it or not. And many people, because they compare themselves to other people, become unconscious of what they're actually working towards. But deep inside, they do have a dream. Everybody wants to make a difference. Even when I talk to people in prisons, They all want to make a difference. And they have some idea what that looks like. And the hierarchy of their values dictates their destiny, and it's yearning to express itself inside them. So I would differ with the idea that when people say, oh, I don't want to set goals, I had a person say, well, you know, setting goals is a good way to make God laugh because, you know, it's not going to happen that way. Well, I differ on that. People that set goals that are not anything but fantasies, they don't achieve them. They beat themselves up and they get pain associated with goal setting. So they don't want to do that. And then they just kind of go with it and let the world around them push them around. But the people I know that do the most extraordinary things have to do planning, and they have to think it through. The biggest business leaders, the biggest celebrities in the sense of sports, the people, the greatest artists, they see it in their mind's eye first. So I would differ on that idea. Now, some people, like you say, maybe not realizing they're setting it, but inside they know. Because when I ask them the right questions, it surfaces right up. And they go, oh, my God. And they'll get a tear in the eye. And they go, boy, that's really what I'm up to. And I said, yeah. Says, I wasn't even aware to put that down on paper. I said, no, but you've been holding it inside yourself. That's why you're achieving. So I'm a firm believer that the executive center is the way to run your life. If not, your amygdala does it. Your amygdala, the difference between a human being and an animal is the executive center. As many people, even Viktor Frankl said, every animal has emotions and every animal has the ability to seek and avoid. But the difference between a human being and an animal is we have meaning. We have the ability to find meaning in the things we perceive and do, and we have the ability to plan with foresight instead of hindsight. They call it teleologics instead of telenomics. Programs and computers have telenomics. They can have hindsight, but having foresight is a human experience. And living from foresight distinguishes us from the animals. And animals don't get great achievements done like humans do. So living in your executive center is wiser. That's the forebrain, not the hindbrain. If you want to get ahead, you live in the forebrain. You want to get behind, you live in the hindbrain. So master planning for your life, to me, is insane not to do. And a lot of the great achievements that come from people who do it. I have a friend who lives on the ship The World who has 4,000 patents. Okay? This is Herbert Wertheim. He's one of the most amazing guys, most philanthropic, most productive individuals I've met. He's just truly, he just gave $100 million to Bill Gates Foundation. This guy is absolutely strategic, absolutely focused, one of the most productive people I've met. He's a good example of what's possible for human brains when they're put into action. So my advice is don't take a gamble on having no action. If you don't have a high priority action to get up in the morning to do the next day, you're probably going to have all kind of interesting stuff. Would you agree? Think about this. When you're sitting around and you don't have a plan of action, you don't have something to do that right on the spot, next, go to the next, the highest priority thing next, it's easy for other people to ask you and distract you. It's hard to say no to people. But when you have a very strict agenda that you're filling up, you got your master plan sitting there. I got my daily plan every day. I got an objective. Boom, everything done for the day. If you go and have some sort of objective, it's easier to say no to people that are going to try to be opportunist and take distraction, distract you. And it's easier to say yes to the things that you know will give you a result. So I don't know. I can't imagine going into a business without an agenda. I can't imagine going into a business without a plan. It's insane. A lot of people go out there with fantasies, not get planning in advance, and imagine going through life that way. I'm grateful that I've taken the time to plan. I've been planning and working on my plan. It's a 4,000-page document. They're working on it. I wouldn't spend the time on it if it wasn't paying off. So I don't hope that answers that question.
Thank you, John. And I think you're 100% right. I think a lot of people plan in that state of elation, like you said, in that manic state, and then they've given the whole goal-setting sort of action a negative concept around it, where we actually know it's very important.
They become pained over the process because they're setting up fantasies. If there's anything you can get out there, and I explain this in the master planning, that anytime you set a goal that's a fantasy, you're designed, your brain is designed to set up the opposite feelings to the elation that you're creating out of this kind of utopia. Your brain, your body becomes dystopic if you create up a utopia. Utopia is a place that doesn't exist. Don't set up fantasies. The magnificence of who you truly are is far greater than any fantasies you'll impose on yourself. The real you is magnificent. The false yous are eroding. As imagine yourself trying to be the second Elvis instead of the first you. I want you to set real goals and real objectives that are truly core from your values and set your dream, because trying to be somebody else is never going to be as empowering and inspiring as being you.
And that leads us perfectly to our next question. What happens when you really don't see that you have anything obvious that you want to focus on as a life goal? Or you don't have any obvious hobby or interest or talent that you're just not clear on your purpose? And I see there's been one or two people in the audience that have already asked this question too. How do you get clear on what single-minded purpose to build your life around? And how can you develop a plan if you're not clear on where to focus?
Well, I sort of answered that, but I'll answer it in another wording. Every time I hear people say to me, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what my purpose is. I'm not clear about it, anything else. I can say tell you this. There are seven basic fears that cloud the clarity of what is yearning to express itself inside. All of them are because of subordinating to outer authorities and comparisons. We're not here to compare ourselves to others and live in their shadows. We're here to compare our daily actions to our own dreams and plans. And metric them. If you don't want to metric your own goals, you're really not sincere about them. You want to make sure that you're asking at the end of the day, what's working, what's not working, how do I refine it, make it more effective and efficient tomorrow? If you really care about them, you're going to do that. But what people do is they say, well, I don't know what I want to do. And deep inside, I'm absolutely certain they do. My certainty far exceeds anybody's doubt. He may be listening. If I sat with you one-on-one, like I do in the master planning, I'll bring it out of you. I'll show you have it. You believe you don't, but you don't. The reality is that you're sitting there comparing yourself to somebody you think is smarter than you. And you're thinking in your head because of it, I don't know if I'm smart enough to do what I really love to do. I don't know if I have the degrees, the education, the intelligence to make the right decisions and everything else. And you're second guessing, primarily because you're comparing yourself to somebody else you've got on a pedestal. They have a different set of values and you're expecting to be like them. Envy is ignorance, imitation is suicide, instead of being you. And the moment you do, you cannot be as confident as you are when you're setting goals that are yours, because you're now trying to be somebody you're not. So you're questioning your own intelligence, but you always have the intelligence needed for your own dreams. The second one is the fear you might fail. Again, fear of failure, fear you won't succeed at this thing you want to do. So you lie to yourself saying, I don't know what it is, because you don't want to have the feeling like, oh my God, I said it, and now I got to be accountable to it. But that's, again, a subordination to somebody you think's got more success than you. But you're not here to compare to somebody that's got more success than you. They have a different form of success. You want to compare yourself to your own version of what success looks like. There's no two people have the same idea what success looks like. I don't even like that word, really. The third one is the comparison to people that you think has more wealth than you. You fear the loss of money, or you fear you're not going to make money doing this thing you want to do. Well, that's another comparison to somebody else that you think's got wealth. If you're around people that have no wealth around you, you never have that fear. But if you get around people that you have wealth or more wealth than you, you immediately have that and you second guess yourself because you're comparing yourself. And people don't even realize they're doing this, but I see it every weekend. And the next one is the fear of loss of loved ones and respect of loved ones. You're worried about what your parents will think, or your spouse will think, or your kid. What would happen about your kids? If I go after what I really love to do, what would happen? How do I sort that through with my family? And you haven't worked through with a strategic plan on how they both win. Your family, your children, everybody wins out of it. And you haven't communicated in a way where they're winning, so they're engaged to help you. And the next one is the fear of failure, or not failure, but fear of rejection. And you only have the fear of rejection of people you put above you. Again, subordination. The people you put below you don't care about their opinions, but the people above you, now you're worried about their opinions and what do they think if I go after what it is? And what if I didn't make it? And these things compound. You think, oh my God, I might fail. I might not make money. I'll be stupid. And then people reject me. And you compound these things. And then you lie to yourself saying, I don't know what it is. I see it every week. The next one is the somehow I don't have the vitality of the energy, or I have to sleep too much. I don't have the energy to do it. But the truth is, when you're doing something you really value, your energy levels go up. Guarantee it. Energies go popping up the second you're congruent. But I don't have the vitality of the energy, or I'm too old. They give physical obstructions. But that's because of subordinating, again, to people they think is more physically fit or more physically stamina than them. And the last one is the fear of breaking the morals and ethics of some spiritual authority. Some friggin' person that they think is more spiritual than them. I love being iconoclast to that crap, because people think that, oh my God, they're spiritual and I'm not, or I should be more like that to be spiritual. When you're inspired, you're spiritual. And if you want to build a great business, or want to build a social cause in the world, or you want to raise a family, or whatever it is that's inspiring to you, that's a spiritual contribution on the planet. You don't have to be some pope or some llama or something like that to be spiritual. You're a spiritual being. That's the truth. The divine is omnipresent, if you will. And sometimes we subordinate to people and think, oh, my God, we should do them. We then worry about our own morals and ethics. And there's never been a universally ascended morals and ethics in the first place. So beware of subordinating to that and gurus and people that you subordinate to and minimize yourself to. So when you actually realize that all those are subordinations because you're not living by your highest value, get onto your highest value and those just melt away and you get clear about your mission. And those things stop you. So when people say, I can't do it, I'm not clear, then get back into priority and start with what you know and realize that you're comparing yourself to other people and quit comparing yourself to them. Compare your actions every day to what you truly want. And if you take a baby step every single day, you'll make a big dream. Piggy banks become biggie banks when you're doing something, small action step every day towards a dream. You'll build momentum, and like a freight train, you can't be stopped if you do. So if you're going after something you really have a meaning about, when the why is big enough, the hows will all take care of themselves and you'll draw people. Every human being wants to be around a person that's clear and inspired. And so if you become that, you'll draw people to help you get your dream and build momentum. People, places, things, ideas, and events start surfacing around you that link up and align congruently with what this value is. Because you see opportunities, you make decisions quickly, and you take advantage of opportunities when you're congruent. Oh, I'm starting to warm up now.
Thank you, John. I love that you said that you always have the intelligence for your own dreams. I think that's perfect to line up with the congruency. Can you address the concept of SMART goals in relation to creating a blueprint for your inspired life?
Well, there's an old proverb that's been around for a long time about specific goals that are measurable, that are aligned to values, right, that are realistic, and that have a time frame on it. It's interesting that sometimes in corporations, there's stockholders and shareholders and society is expecting CEOs and everything to set these audacious goals that are beyond possible. I'm all for big goals, but I found the best way to get to a big goal is to have a goal that's certain and clear on a small goal and break it down and just keep doing it. I found out when I first started setting goals, I couldn't imagine some of the things I'm doing today. It was outside my perception. But what I could see, I worked on and I strategized. And every time I worked and made another step forward, my vision of possibilities kept growing. And now I can see that I can do things that I never thought were even possible. But just incremental goals you do. And if you do have a big goal, if you don't chunk it down, you'll have a disconnect. So if you do have a goal, start with the end in mind and work your back. Ask yourself in the 7 highest priority action steps you can do today to help you move one step closer towards your dream. And keep chunking it down. And what are the 7 action steps you can do to make that possible? And then do the next 7 to make that possible. You can take a massive goal and break it down, but you have to bring it down all the way, or otherwise you'll have a disconnect and you'll beat yourself up. It's important to do that. So we have that capacity, but SMART goals are ones that are within your perceptual grasp, that are aligned with your values, that are very specific and clear and concise, that have a realistic time frame on them, not exaggerated or minimized. I tell people to set goals and then document when they want them to be done and then when do they actually achieve them. The day they set them, the day they want to achieve them, and when they actually achieved them. If the date of actual achievement is much later, you're setting fantasy goals with a manic state. If it's much earlier, you're setting minimizing goals. But if you're hitting them on the day or pretty close to the day, you're setting realistic goals. You need that feedback to give yourself permission to set real goals.
Thank you, John. And you referred to, what is the manifestation formula that you just referred to? To now?
When I was 17 years old, I met Paul Bragg, and I had the opportunity for the next 3 weeks to study with this man. And I gleaned little insights being with him for those 3 weeks. And it wasn't a manifestation formula, but it was the ingredients of it. And slowly but surely, I organized it into a formula, and I've been now sharing it and teaching it for 44, almost 45 years. In fact, a few weeks ago was the 45-year mark. The manifestation formula that I've been sharing in master planning and other presentations is that you start with purpose. You start with your highest value, and you get really clear on it. And to me, not getting clear on it, to me, is kind of foolish. If you look at an ant bed, you'll see some ants wandering around loosely, just wandering around looking for stuff. And you see others on a path carrying a big load going towards the nest, hanging out with the queen, you might say. Those that have a purpose and are really clear have a path. And that can remodel and change as it does, as the values change, but that's okay. But what happens is you start with a purpose. And once you get clear on that and you define that, your mind won't be able to not think about it. You know, I've been teaching 45 years, and I can't think of anything else I'd rather be doing. That's what I love doing. And I don't have to be reminded. I've never had to be reminded or motivated or incentivized to think about it. You spontaneously think about what is highest on your value. So if you set a goal that's congruent with that, you will spontaneously think about it. So purpose plus thought is the first two steps of the formula. You also will activate that visual center that I mentioned, and you'll see it in your mind's eye. There's a book, a great book called The Mind's Eye that came out many years ago. It's worth reading if you can find it. And automatically you will see it in your mind's eye. And it won't be in the future. If you're imagining it in the future, you've got a fantasy associated with it. Because if it's really present, there's no time in it. You're now. And you see it as if it's live. And it's impossible for you not to do because you're in it. So purpose plus thought plus vision is the first three steps. The next step is your internal dialogue. Everybody has internal dialogue and self-talk and private talk. Private talk is what you say to yourself out loud, and self-talk is what you say quietly inside. And that auto-suggestive internal dialogue will be a byproduct, if you're congruent, with affirmative statements that are forward. And the word affirmation is not positive statements. Affirmation means to make firm in one's mind, a condition of firmness in one's mind. And that only occurs when you have congruent objectives. If not, you automatically have a bipolar state, a fantasy and self-doubt talk. And self-doubt talk is different than clear affirmation. So you want to make sure that you're congruent, because then you'll have a purpose for it, the why. You'll have the thought. You can't get it out of your mind. You'll see it in your mind's eye, and your internal dialogue will be congruent. I'm an international professional speaker traveling over the world, inspiring millions of people daily. That's been in my mind since I was a young man, and that just manifested in my life. The next thing is to make sure that you have, when you're congruent, you have gratitude for what you do. You love what you're doing. You're inspired by a vision. You're enthused about it, not excited, but enthused. You're certain about it, and you're present. Those are what I call the four synthesized feelings of achievement. Those feelings are what you're looking for. When you're writing goals, if you don't have those, keep writing them until you get those. When you do that, you'll automatically be inspired to want to write your goals down. It's a spontaneous thing to want to write down. We've all had moments we've been inspired. And man, when we got inspired, we see it in our mind and we got, oh, I got to get a pencil. I got to write that down. It's a spontaneous thing to want to capture moments of inspiration. And then you want to write things down in space and time. And then you want, in the process of doing that, I just realized my battery's going out. Pardon me. Make sure we get our battery. Pardon me. Pardon me for the distraction. I just noticed the battery set. We're trying to get a cord in here for it. But you want to make sure that you basically set things down in space and time, because if you see it in your mind's eye and it's in space and time, you empower yourself and set realistic objectives. Pardon me a second.
Perfect. Great. Let's just give Dr. DeMartini a chance.
Let me finish it off. Oh, pardon me. Once you have the thing in space and time, you automatically want to act. You automatically want to execute it. And when you execute it, you want to do it with energy, and you automatically have vitality and energy when all of a sudden you're doing something that's congruent. You'll automatically see resources and the opportunity for resources matter. You'll feel a higher deserve level because you're congruent, and you'll be thankful because you see things on the way and you're achieving and getting results, and you'll manifest it. So purpose plus thought plus vision plus affirmation plus feeling inspired plus writing things down in space and time plus taking actions with energy on matter plus feeling deserving, feeling grateful, manifestation. That's been my formula for all these years.
Fantastic. Thank you, John. Have you got your power supply? Are we ready to go on to the next question?
Now. It just went off for a moment.
Fantastic. What is your advice for people who feel that they are in a comfort zone in their lives and they feel that the thing that's holding them back is complacency?
I recommend finding the nearest mountain and cliff and jump off it. I'm joking. You know, there's a friend of mine who is a gentleman named Pat Falvey, who is in Ireland. And one of the questions that he's an amazing guy. He's done amazing achievements. He's climbed Mount Everest a number of times. He's climbed the peaks of the world. He's gone to the North and South Pole. He's friggin' swam the Amazon. He's done amazing things. But he asked himself, what is my biggest fear today and how do I conquer this today? What a great attitude. Just like Microsoft, Bill Gates says, what is the greatest thing I can do today with the resource I have today? How can I serve the world in the greatest way, most efficient way with the resource I have today? if you're not asking yourself and pushing yourself beyond comfort zone and going into the challenging area, you're living a life of mediocrity and you're automatically going to beat yourself up. If you don't allow the world out there to beat you up, you're going to beat yourself up. And I'd rather have the whole world against me than my own soul. So you have to take actions. And anytime you're hesitating, it's because you're setting fantasies, not goals. And fantasies will make you have self-defeat and make you plateau. Goals won't. So I'd recommend for a person that's sitting there plateauing and being complacent, I'd immediately find out what's really valuable to them, because what they think is valuable ain't it. Because you don't stop when you're doing something that's meaningful. If you're setting up a goal and banging your head against the wall, imagine the Jewish guy sitting there up in the Jerusalem hanging, banging his head against the wall, right? If you're banging your head against the wall, that means you're setting goals that aren't yours. Because you break through limitations when you're truly going after things that are meaningful to you. So I'd recommend to go back to this drawing board and listen to this recording and get back to the basics on that, and ask yourself, the pain of regret is going to be greater than the pain of discipline. Because at the end of your life, you're going to be asked a simple question. Did I do everything I could with everything I was given? And if you can't say I did it, then you're basically holding yourself back. And most people hold themselves back because they're comparing themselves to others and worried about those seven fears that I mentioned. And they're setting up fantasies and they're beating themselves up and they're thinking there's something wrong with them. Please know there's nothing wrong with you. Your physiology is giving you feedback. Learn to use your feedback to achieve greatness. The real you is great inside. But the facades that you put up for yourself undermine the greatness.
Thank you, John. And the next question we have here, what about people who feel that it is great to work on bigger goals, but just feel that life gets in the way? They feel that being a single mom or working full time or not having money is the reason why they're not getting around to the things that they say they would love to do or to have.
Well, if you're not getting around to what you say you love to do, what you say you love to do is not what you love to do. If it's really, 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 really high on your value, you'll be doing it. And so what you're doing is you're assuming what's important to you. Let me give you an example. If I stand in front of 10,000 people and I ask them, how many of you would love to be financially independent? Every hand goes up. 99 to 100% of the people put their hand up. And then if I put my hand up, they all cheer and everything else. And I said, how many of you now have financial independence? The hands will go down. Less than 1% of the world's population make financial independence. But 99 to 100% of the people live in the fantasy they're going to do it. They live in the fantasy of that going to happen. They have no plans, no strategies. They don't know what their assets are. They don't know what their liabilities are. They don't know what their net worth is. They don't know what monies they want to live on passively. They don't know what the inflation rate is, the average interest rate of their investments are. They don't actually have a long-term goal of a net worth and what it giving you that interest rate against that inflation to give you that result. They don't have any strategies. They don't have anything in place. They have almost guaranteed, because they haven't planned, they're guaranteed to have that not happen. And then they beat themselves up. At the end of their life, they think, I should have done this. I could have done this. And they lived with imperatives instead of inspiration. So when I hear people saying that I want to do this, but I never get around to it, then they don't know what their values are. Because if they knew what their values are, and I recommend they go on my value determination process online on my website to help them. If they don't know what their values are, they're going to set up fantasies. 99% of the people that I meet in my programs set up fantasies for themselves. They don't know how to master plan. That's why I try to put that together to help them. Because they can set up fantasies in their life, they're going to beat themselves up and they're going to self-depreciate. Then they're going to be going to a spectator sport looking for a hero to compensate for the part of them that's repressed. And I see that all the time. They look for religious heroes. They look for sport heroes. They look for everybody else to live vicariously through instead of becoming the hero. I don't want them to be looking for heroes. I want them to be the hero. And they're not going to do that if they're setting up fantasies about what they want. So if they really want something, they get it. You don't want it, you think you want it, and you think, oh, I want this. And you, because if you really have a value on a business, you're not going to be distracted by these other things. But if you're distracted by it, what many people think are distractions from goals are actually higher on priority to them, but they don't know it. They have a fantasy of what the goal is, and they keep going over to this thing, and they keep thinking they're sabotaging. Why can't I stay focused? What's wrong with me? They're beating themselves up because they're not setting congruent goals. That's why it's so important to start there. That's why I put so much emphasis on that. So I show people how to do that in match planning, because if they don't learn to do that, they're going to bang their head against the wall and think there's something wrong with them most of their life. I see that weekly.
Thank you, John. So many people say that they're really struggling with a fear of failure. You hinted at it earlier.
When you set a goal that's truly congruent, you see anything that happens as feedback, and you see it on the way. When you set a goal that's not congruent with your highest value, you set up a fantasy that you think is success, and anything less than that you think is failure. And you get caught with the emotions. And anything you infatuate with or resent occupies space and time in your mind and runs you. And so you're now preoccupied with all this noise in the brain instead of clarity and silence and purity. That's why it's so important to set real goals. If you set real goals, you don't have a fear of failure. A child that really has a commitment to go and walk, if it falls down, it doesn't go, oh, I failed, might as well give up. I'm not going to do that again. They get back up and they walk again because they're committed to walking. And they have a mission to walk. They have places to go. When you have a real commitment that's really congruent with your highest values, you don't perceive failure. You perceive feedback. Feedback. Yes, you may not achieve exactly what you do, but you see it as, how do I refine it? And what do I do next time and make it? You use it as feedback and you get it. You eventually get your goal. Perseverance gives the gold. I mean, there's lots of things that I did along my journey of this public speaker that would be funny. If you watch the videos of my early speaking, you'd laugh pretty good. I fall out of my chair watching some of it. But I see it all as feedback because I had a mission to master the skill of continue to speak and travel the world and teach. I wasn't going to let anything on the face of the earth stop me from my dream. If you don't have that feeling towards a goal, it's not your goal. You've set up a fantasy. When you feel that it's impossible for you not to fulfill your dream and you see something not in the way and you know that to not have to use it to change, now you're talking as a master. That's what I want in master plan. I want people to think that way.
Not everyone can be a billionaire. So how do we know that people are setting goals that are congruent with their highest values, or they're not subordinating to other people's goals and setting goals, other people's goals instead of their own?
Well, if they're setting goals that aren't theirs, it's going to show in their actions. They won't be consistent or persistent in the objectives. They'll be cloudy. They'll be having all these emotions in there. When they're setting congruent goals, they're getting into action. I mean, it's just that simple. And I don't know. I believe that everybody has $1 billion worth of assets in their life. It's just hidden in what they value most. If you have a value on your children, that's your highest value. You're sitting on a gold mine with children. And if somebody came up to you and offered you $10 million to your kids, you'd say, no, thank you. I'll keep my kid. Or maybe $100 million. Maybe unless they're in the teenage years. And then you might sell them at a cheaper price during the teenage years. But the point is that everybody has $1 billion worth of assets, but it's always in the form of their highest values. But unless you have a value on wealth building higher than other forms of assets, you will never convert the assets that you're sitting on into cash flow. So I believe that we all have $1 billion. I have a program called Where's My Billion for that reason. But I believe that a person has a capacity to manifest what's really truly highest on their values. Their life will demonstrate it. Your life demonstrates your values. So if you're setting a goal and you're not seeing results, then what it is it ain't really important to you. People who say, well, this is important. I really want to do it, but I never get around to doing it. I keep having these other things. And what you're saying is these other things are more important to you. So you got to get real about what's important to you and set real goals that are really congruent to achieve. And when you do, you'll build momentum very quickly. And I don't believe there's anybody here. I'm a firm believer that no matter what it is that's really valuable to you, you can convert it into great cash. I made a commitment not to sell out in my life. I wanted to do exactly what I love to do and get handsomely paid for it and become financially independent doing what I love to do. I had to work for it, and I have to show people how to do that, but I didn't want to sell out just to get wealth and lose out what I wanted to do. I learned that from a gentleman many years ago that said to himself and to me, he sold out to get the wealth, and he's been sitting there feeling like he's never really done what he really could have done. I'm a firm believer that you set real dreams and ask the right questions, as I explained in Master Planning, on how to actually convert whatever you want to do, whatever it is, into cash flow. Because it is whatever you want to do, there's somebody out there that's going to benefit by it. And when people benefit and you serve their needs, you have a cash source. So I show people how to do that. It's one of the things, one of the primary objectives also in master planning, because otherwise you're going to have a Monday morning blues, Wednesday hump day, thank God it's Friday's week, friggin' end lifestyle. And you're never going to have vocation and vacation be the same. And when you do, you get to do what you love and tap dance to work, as Buffett says. That's why he's also a billionaire. Since he was 11, he's wanted to be financially viable. He read every book in the Omaha, Nebraska library on finance by age 11. That tells me he had a high value on that. When you have a high value on something and you stay focused on it, build momentum on it, I assure you there's a way of making a great living out of it financially.
Thank you, John. And you often refer to the importance of questions. Can you elaborate and share with the audience some examples of quality questions that you ask yourself that have impacted the quality of your life today?
Yeah. What is it I would absolutely love to do in life? How do I get handsomely and beautifully paid to do it? What are the 7 highest priority action steps I can do today to make it possible? What obstacles might I run into? How do I solve them in advance? How do I do it more effective and efficiently? What worked and what didn't work? How do I do it more effectively and efficiently? And how did whatever I experienced today, how's it helping me get my dreams? Those are quality questions. Instead of asking, how can I afford to do things? You want to ask, how can I get paid to do things? Never ask, how can you afford it? Because you're going to get in debt. How do you get paid to do whatever you love? That's a major difference. So the quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you ask. And you want to ask questions that lead you to a masterful life. You want to make a masterpiece. At the end of your life, you want to be able to look back and go, wow, I did it. And that's based on the quality of the questions you ask. I've got 2,000 and waiting for those that are interested in learning that. There's 2,000 fabulous questions that I've accumulated that I've used in my life. And they make a difference if you ask them, because you'll see your life completely different with a bigger game. And there's no reason why you can't get rewarded financially for doing something you love to do.
Thank you, Dick Martini. Can you summarize for us the most important things a person can do to focus on starting from today to create their blueprint for an inspired life? The most important things a person can focus on today.
Number one is to go online and get your value started. Come to Master Planning and learn how to ask the right questions, but go and get your values. We need to get your values clear about what you really want and not live in these. So many people are comparing themselves to others that they're unclear about what they think they want. They tell you all kinds of stuff, but their life demonstrates something different. You need to know what your values are. You need to start learning the right questions, because your questions change your life. And you need to start prioritizing your daily actions. Because if you're not prioritizing your actions and delegating things and not putting a team of people you can delegate low priority stuff to, there's no way you can live an inspired life. You've got to be able to delegate. And in order to delegate, you have to figure out a way of getting paid to do the highest priority things and do it as service to people. All of those are questions. All of those are doable. And if you do, you set yourself free, and life is a different game. You can be grateful for life. So I'm seeing no reason why you can't say thank you daily for your life. I keep a record of daily gratitude daily that I fill my book with, and my master plan book. And I can say that that's very rewarding. And someday my kids will be able to read that, and some other people read that and go, wow, this is thousands and thousands and thousands. I'm talking about thousands of pages of thousands of gratitudes. And I was told, I was born on Thanksgiving Day, and my mom said to me when I was 4, make sure you count your blessings. Those that are grateful for what they got, they get more to be grateful for. So yeah, those are some things.
Can you tell us a bit more about your personal blueprint you just mentioned? How much time you spend on that daily, weekly, yearly, and we understand why, but your personal why that you spend so much time on your own blueprint?
You know, I do it every day. The least is 15 minutes. I go up to sometimes an hour a day on that. And I work on that, and I write and I document everything that I was blessed to do that day. I make sure that I don't make that list without seeing how it serves me. No matter what's happened, positive, negative, doesn't matter. I update my goals and I keep metrics. So if I say I want to reach 1 billion people or 5 billion people or whatever, I keep a metric. Every radio, television, newspaper, magazine, every webinar, podcast, everything I do, I document it to make sure I'm actually making progress towards the goal. Every time I get to another city to present, I document the city. I've gone over 2,000 cities now. I document everything because I want to metric it to make sure I'm actually achieving what I set out to do. And as I do that, I get refreshing new insights as I go along on how I can get what I want out of life. And that's involving service, because my dreams are also wanting to serve people. And so that I measure how many people I get to serve and the people I get to meet and the things I've got to learn. And I document those in the goals and update the goals on a regular basis. So I work on it minimum 15 minutes to an hour a day. And then on weekends, sometimes more, or on definitely when it comes up to the, when I get on my ship and I'm at New Year's or whatever, Christmas time, and I got a little bit extra time there, I put a lot of time into it. I master plan and play out the year. I map out what I want to accomplish the next year. I have a posthumous biography in it, which is a 1,000-year plan of how I want to be perceived on Wikipedia 1,000 years from now. And I've already seen that some of those things have come true. So yeah, I work on it. It's the most significant book of my life. Right now it's 4,000 pages and it's still growing. And I don't think of anything else that I want to leave on the planet. That's one of the most significant contributions I want to leave on the planet, to master plan life and show what's possible. A pictorial biography of what's possible in our lives.
Wow, that's brilliant. Many people in the past have also advised us that they found it very helpful to have assistance in creating their personalized blueprint for their lives. And you have a three-day master planning and goal-setting workshop coming up now. We know in Australia, United States, South Africa, and the UK beginning next year, 2018. Can you please explain what happens on this workshop and how you personally assist the participants to put what you've shared into action?
Well, I give them first a stick into their computer that has 2,000 questions on it and a format that they can follow methodically that's pretty self-explanatory. And then they go to work. And we start with what exactly are the values, and then what exactly is the mission, and what exactly are the primary objectives in life. And then we start going through all seven areas of life. So we look at how do you want to create your mind? What do you want to accomplish, and what do you want to learn in this world? So how to master and maximize the mind and wake up your innovative, creative, original ideas and a genius in life. How to build your business. And we're going to do a whole business plan, a mind development plan, a financial mastery and independence plan, a family love and intimacy plan. What exactly, what's the ideal look, or how do you want your family to look like, or your relationship dynamics, your social plan, your physical health plan, and your inspired plan, your spiritual plan, whatever that means to you. And I'm interested in helping them ask questions, and it's thousands of questions, 2,000 questions that you ask yourself to make you aware of things you didn't even know to ask, to help you get clear about what it is. So in other words, when I'm talking about financial independence, instead of saying, I just want to be financially independent, which is nebulous crap. Okay, what exactly is your assets right now? What is your liabilities now? Total them. What is your net worth now? Great. How much do you want to live on now as a passive investment income? What is that? Right. And exactly what interest rate do you feel with your knowledge you can earn from all your knowledge of investments conservatively? What is the average interest rate in your country? Or inflation rate in your country long term? What exactly is it that you need as an amount to give you that at that interest rate minus the inflation? And then you have to look at what exactly is the shortfall, and then what is the strategy to get it? And then we look at all the possible strategies, and then we look at what are you going to do to earn that income and how you're scaling up the business to accelerate that. We're very precise and specific on it, so you're not nebulously writing fantasies and fluffy stuff that creates a new age beating yourself up crap. I'm interested in getting somebody grounded, because you achieve more that way, and it makes them accountable. And most people aren't used to being accountable. Then I'm sitting up in the front. So you're doing this for 3 days, and even in the night, people are working. And then what I do is I'm sitting at the front, and I'm doing micro consulting basically the whole time. So they're coming up, anything that's not clear, anything they need help on, I'm helping them. If they want to get clear about what they want to do with their goals and their dreams and their vision or their business or whatever. I'm spending the whole time, whatever time I have available, we try to spread it equally as much as possible, but we just do everything we can to help them master plan and get after and achieve what they want to do. I also have my daughter there or other specialists there, and we're all helping them get that outcome. And if I see people that are experts in the field in the seminar, I make sure everybody knows of those expertise in case they want to also participate in helping them. So it's a camaraderie, consulting kind of a experience where it's all the questions are in front of you. And it's life-changing. The trajectory of your life shifts. There's no way you can go through that without an expanded vision of what's possible for you. And you also got the tools on how to do it. So imagine having a business plan. When you're done, you have about a 250-page document with your business plan, your financial plan, your family plan, all the plans there. And you get to go and start working on it. And that plan, that book, is now there. You can work on and refine for the rest of your life, like I've been doing mine. And I have my books there, usually to show them, and so they can see a sample of what's possible with it. And their life starts to shift. So I can say that it's a great opportunity to get there if they can make it.
And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Dr. Demartini Show. To determine and discover your values, head over to drdemartini.com, where you will also find blogs, videos, research materials, online courses, and exactly how you can sign up to become part of the breakthrough experience in your local city. Thanks for tuning in. If you would love to follow Dr. Demartini on any of his social media platforms, you can do so by searching for Dr. John Demartini. We look forward to sharing more inspired insights on our next episode. Bye for now.